Hello, JT Wheatley here again, your humble host and narrator, and welcome back to the History of Comic Books podcast, The Silver Age. The Silver Age of comic books is considered to have taken place between 1956 and 1969. Like the Golden Age, there is no specific date as to when it ended, but there is no question when it began, and that was with the release of Showcase No. 4 by DC on October 1956, which featured the debut of the Barry Allen version of The Flash, the one we know today and the star of the current CW series. This was by dictate of DC editor Julie Swartz, who wished to revive the superhero line at DC now that the CCA had made many comic books, from crime to horror, impossible to publish. Dubbed by Robert Kanigher and Carmen Infantino, it was an instant success that revived the character and led to the revival of the Flash comic books, which restarted at number 105 in February of 1959. Meanwhile, Marvel had lost Atlas as its distributor, but Jack Liebowitz stepped in with Independent News, but on the restriction of 8 comic books a month. While this seems strange that DC would save its chief rival, Liebowitz was looking to save the medium and knew a healthy Marvel was key to that, something that he would soon be proven right on. On February 1957, Showcase No. 6 debuted The Challenger to the Unknown by Jack Kirby, and then, April of 1958, Adventure Comics No. 247 debuted The Legion of Superheroes, which included the original lineup of Cosmic Boy, Lightning Boy, and Saturn Girl. Meanwhile, Superman started to be revived as well as the classic villain Brainiac debuted in Action Comics No. 242, while Adam Strange made his debut in Showcase No. 17 in December of 1958, two key characters in the current Krypton series on Sci-Fi Now. Over at Marvel, Tales to Astonish and Tales of Suspense were launched in January of 1959. While The Brave and the Bold No. 25 debuted the first version of the Suicide Squad / Task Force X. In Action Comics No. 252, on May of 1959, Supergirl made her official debut, while a tryout version of her appeared in Superman No. 123 back in April of 1958, it was this one that became Superman's cousin Kara Zor-El that we know and love today, along with being the star of the current CW series. Of interesting note, she was created by Wart Meisinger and Otto Binder, who created the original Mary Marvel, the female Captain Marvel, once again showing it was actually Superman who was copying him the whole time. In Showcase No. 20, Rip Hunter, the Time Master, first appeared and eventually got his own series in March of 1961. Then Showcase No. 22 on October 1959, DC continued its success of reviving the classic heroes, but with new identities, this time with Green Lantern under the guise of Hal Jordan, who soon got his own series in July of 1960. The revival continued in Adventure Comics No. 256 on January of 1959, with Jack Kirby being tasked to revive the Green Arrow. This was all built to Brave and the Bold No. 28, which featured the debut of the Justice League of America, DC's premier super team with the lineup of The Flash, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, and the Martian Manhunter, with them getting their own series in October of 1960. Back in Flash of No. 110 on January 1960, Wally West Kid Flash made his debut, and then in issue No. 112 on May 1960, the Elongated Man / Ralph Digby first made his appearance, which makes his recent live-action debut in the current Flash TV series in the CW that much more appropriate. Aquaman No. 1 began in January of 1962, and in Brave and the Bold No. 34-36, and also 42-44, another Golden Age hero was revived in Hawkman, who got his own series in April of 1964. It should also be noted that this was the time that one of Superman's creators, Jerry Siegel, quietly returned to writing the series and worked to revive his own creation as well. Over at Marvel, Amazing Adventures was published in June of 1961, later becoming Amazing Adult Fantasy by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Back at DC, Showcase No. 34 brought back the Atom in September of 1961, and he would get his own series in June of 1962, while The Flash No. 123 reintroduced the original Scarlet Speedster, Jay Garrick, in the classic story Flash of Two Worlds that thus introduced the Earth-2 multiverse concept of the DC universe. Finally, Marvel was ready to get rolling. According to legend, Stan Lee, frustrated by the creative restraints Marvel owner Martin Goodman had placed on him, was ready to quit. However, his wife, Lynn, encouraged him to just make a comic he always wanted, and Goodman would just fire him instead. So Lee met up with Jack Kirby, now contracted with Marvel, and the two came up with the Fantastic Four, which debuted in November of 1961. Instead of Goodman firing him, the book became an instant success, and Marvel was soon off and running. Incredible Hulk number 1 debuted in May of 1963 by Lee and Kirby, followed by Thor, who first appeared in Journey of Mystery number 83 in August of 1962. Later made into Thor in March of 1966 with number 126. With Amazing Adult Fantasy about to be canceled with issue number 15, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, with a little help from Kirby, used it to debut Spider-Man in August of 1962, and sure enough, everyone's favorite wall caller and future flagship character of Marvel got his own series with The Amazing Spider-Man in March of 1963. Ant-Man would also make his debut in Tales to Astonish, as Daryl and Cross, played by Corey Stoll, would proclaim in the 2015 movie, with number 27 on January of 1962, first just as Hank Pym and then as Ant-Man in number 35. Also, in Tales of Suspense, number 39, Iron Man, my personal favorite superhero, made his debut on March of 1963, while Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos appeared in May of 1963, later becoming Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. in June of 1968. Meanwhile, outside of Marvel and DC, Solar Man of the Atom debuted in October of 1962 under Gold Key, and later debuted of Magnus Robot Fighter in February of 1963. Back at DC, My Greatest Adventure number 80 debuted, which debuted the Doom Patrol on May of 1963. At Marvel, Strange Tales number 110 appropriately debuted Doctor Strange in July of 1963, and finally, Marvel got its own Justice League at the assistance of Martin Goodman with The Avengers on September 1963 with the original lineup of Iron Man, Hulk, Ant-Man, Wasp, and Thor fighting Loki. Hulk later left the series in issue number 2 with the Submariner returning in number 3 to now fight the Hulk, and then in issue number 4, Jack Kirby brought back his classic character, Captain America, on March of 1964, who would later take over leadership of the team in number 16. Then in X-Men debuted on September of 1963 with the original lineup of Cyclops, Marvel Girl, Iceman, Beast, Angel, and Professor X battling Magneto. On May of 1964, Stan Lee teamed with Submariner co-creator Bill Everett for Daredevil. In Fantastic Four in the Fantastic Four, Galactus and the Silver Surfer appeared in issues number 48 on March of 1966. Black Panther made his first appearance in number 52 on July of 1966. Back at DC, Detective Comics number 327 on May of 1964 began the revival of Batman, and then in January of 1966, the Teen Titans debuted on January of 1966 with the original lineup of Aqualad, Kid Flash, Robin, and Wonder Girl. Speedy, Green Arrow's sidekick, would join in issue number 19. Then Batman really got a boost with the Adam West Batman series, which premiered on January 12, 1966. While campy, and reportedly not to the creator Bob Kane's liking, though he did like the royalty checks, it reignited general interest in the character, with Batgirl also making her first appearance before joining the show in Detective Comics number 359 on January of 1967. Plus, the Spectre returned in his own series in November of 1966. Outside of DC and Marvel, Harvey Comics revived the spirit with Eisner's classic character in October of 1966. By 1968, Warner Brothers bought DC and merged into their media empire, something Martin Goodman would do with Marvel in selling it to Perfect Film and Comic Company on October of 1968, while staying on as president. The best part, it had its own distribution network, thus freeing Marvel from DC's affiliate, Independent, and the 8-comic-a-month restriction. However, before that, they would snatch up the Captain Marvel name from the now-defunct Fawcett Publishing from DC, with Marvel Superheroes number 12 on November of 1968, thus forcing DC to rename their Captain Marvel to Shazam from now on, though the rest of his family in the comics is still called the Marvel family. Go figure. Thus, by the end of 1969, sales began to wane, with titles like The Spectre, Hawkman, and The Atom being canceled. However, the comic medium was back thanks to superhero genre, which, for better or worse, it would now be anchored to. With that, it would go into the next decade as the creators tried to push the medium even further, including dealing with that pesky CCA.
Things are coming on the Nerd Bliss podcast. We're changing up our presentation while keeping the candidness that you enjoy. We'll cover all your favorite shows and movies, with maybe a few surprises along the way. And you, yes you, will have opportunities to be on our show on a regular basis. That's right, you've got the Zoom Pro account, and we're going to use it. So be ready. Find us at NerdBlissPodcast.com and ESONetwork.com. And on all the socials at NerdBlissPod. NerdBliss, listen up.
And now it is April 11th, 2024. Time for the favorite comic book of the week. Fantastic Four, number 18, by Ryan North and Carlos Gomez, which is another great little one-shot issue that finds takes place in the 1930s, strangely enough, where a private detective, Alicia Masters, the wife of Ben Grimm, is hired by a Sue Storm to track down her scientist husband, Reed Richards. This is a great alternate world take on the Fantastic Four. There's actually in continuity. You have to read the story to get to the mystery. And it's a nice little detective noir mystery. Reiner really has great fun mixing and matching the different Fantastic Four characters in a way. And it's a great showcase for Alicia Masters, who, of course, is Ben Grimm's The Thing's wife, and kind of the member of the extended Fantastic Four family. And that's one of the great things about Fantastic Four. It's a book about families of superheroes, which is so much fun. And it's great to see. Well, it's been extended that way. Ben Grimm has a wife and kids, and of course, Reed Richards has their, and Sue Storm has their children. So it's just a lot of fun all around. And it's just a fun family book, great noir mystery. Gomez has a gorgeous art, which has a nice black and white noir feel to it. So yeah, Ryan North, for like, well, everyone else is doing these long form stories and comic books. Ryan North's been just doing single issue story after single issue story, and it's been killing it. This is a great read. One of the best runs of Fantastic Four in years. Highly recommend to check it out. And with that, we'll conclude with this week's episode of the History Comics Podcast. Join me again next week for another archive edition. Until then, go out and enjoy some good comic book, and definitely check out Fantastic Four. Ryan North is just killing it lately.